Representative Osterman got most of my questions answered. I guess I didn't, the one question, the one answer I didn't hear was, in your models, do you allow different inflation rates or growth rates for K through 12 and other formula programs versus the rest of the operating budget? In other words, can you have one rate for K through 12, another rate for Medicaid, and then another rate for the rest of the operating budget?
The way the model is currently set up, K through 12 is automatically built in a 1.5% increase. The balance of the operating budget can be increased by an input line. Capital budget is not affected by an increase in the inflation rate right currently as the model exists today, nor is debt service, because the debt service payments are known. If that answers the question.
Not quite, but close enough. That's fine.
Representative Bundy, then Foster and Osterman.
Yeah, flat funding has different meanings to different folks. To me, flat funding takes into account formula changes. For instance, this year we flat funded K through 12, but they got more money because the formula allowed them to increase. Your model has flat funding, or is it allows for formula changes?
I have information that I have put into the model from OMB. Currently, the K through 12 is funded at 1.5% increase. That's automatically in the K through 12 line. It's a separate line from the operating budget itself. The operating line, I believe, has been adjusted for FY99 and FY2000 changes that have occurred throughout this session through the supplemental, et cetera, and then stays constant through the original three additional years in the five-year plan, but it has the ability to be increased by any user that decides to increase or decrease it by a percent.
Mr. Chairman, that's still flat funding, because that money is for enrollment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's still flat funding.
Yeah. For that, not as extra dollars per student, but it is dollars per student.
For enrollment, right.
For extra students.
Right.
Representative Foster and then Osterman?
Yeah, on page 7, you've got, I've been to 11 revenue projections on the price of oil, and I know there's been some years where they've been really far off. But on page 7, you've got the same outside consultant provides the capital market assumptions, and then on page 3, you've got make reasonable assumptions, keep relationships consistent. Have they been consistently fairly on target, or, like, do you got some really bad years, too, or what?
As it applies to capital market assumptions?
Mm-hmm.
That is evaluated, and again, it's a median expectation, but in fact, we've used that consultant since 1992, and they were hired in the mid-80s at the Permanent Fund, and their expected returns have fallen within normal distribution, so they've done excellent.
What does that cost you every year?
There's multiple services, asset allocation, performance measurement, et cetera. I believe I rarely go near the budget. If I said $350,000 a year, that includes coming to all the meetings and general consulting. It goes well beyond asset allocation.
Was that bid out, like when you change them?
It is bid out about every 3 years, and in fact, it was just bid out last January.
If you recall, Representative Foster, we just, in the supplemental budget, I think we made the amendment. It was $400,000. Mm-hmm. It was omitted from the budget last year accidentally, and we had to put it back in as a supplemental. As
now,
the
how do I get
fees
on the list?
Can you put the coin as good as anyone? Show us your experience.
Yeah. Representative Osterman?
A number of us have been concerned for quite some time that every year we balance our budget based upon taking money out of the CBR. And when you think about that in the long term of spending all your resources, your assets, a number of us kick around the endowment idea, and nerd out, you've seen the All-Alaska plan that kicked out there. What is the Department of Revenue taking any kind of a position at all on the endowment concept? Not how you totally get there, but just the concept.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Osterman, we've evaluated all the plans, and I'm going to be vague for a reason, because it really then begins, there are ways that have a lot of merit from an endowment approach, but then it gets into the details. And I would hope this body would then evaluate in the details on which of those approaches work the best. So it really gets into the details of the specific plans where you find out which one will work better than the others. And it also, I might add, depends on what your goals are.
Let me rephrase it a little bit then. Mm-hmm. Is it your opinion that the current direction that we're going right now, that our reserves will be gone in a few years, and that we'll have spent any possibility of doing an endowment?
It's my opinion, we'll go back to the earlier conversation about the CBRF, where the sooner action is taken, the more choices you have, and the greater income, you're losing a resource, if you will, by spending it. And so the sooner that action is taken, the better off you are, and the more choices you have in addressing the issue. There's no question in my mind on that.
Bob, what has been the, how has your rate of return compared with the permanent funds over the last couple of years?
We'll talk about the retirement system, Mr. Chairman, because they're essentially structured about the same. And I wish you would ask me this question a year ago. I would have had a much better answer. But over the four prior years, we've always compared very favorably to the permanent fund. Over the four prior years, probably slightly higher return. Last year, permanent fund had a higher return than the retirement system did. When you get over the longer term, or what I believe even shorter time horizons, you'll find that both funds compare very favorably.
That's what I was given to understand, that you had a pretty favorable comparison with the permanent fund.
We've been very pleased with our performance.
We won't talk about permanent funds at offices as they compare to yours.
Come on over to see ours.
We do have, on Thursday evening, the governor's plan will be presented, as well as the All-Alaska plan, and then some other folks who have developed opinions in terms of plans and what we should be evaluating. That is going to be presented on Thursday night, as I said. So we'll be able to look in greater detail than the specifics of what you've been talking about, Bob, and Chris, and begin forming some ideas based from that. Are there any further questions for Bob or for Chris?
Sure.
Representative Osterman?
Are you guys going to present a government plan?
We don't know the answer to that question.
We haven't been asked yet.
The governor.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, Representative Osterman, if it would be Commissioner Condon or who will be making the presentation. Is it you, Representative Davies?
Probably Robin Hood.
The reason I ask is, Bob has got some valuable information in their heads, having worked these models so much, that once we have the information before us, there'd be a resource that I'd like to draw upon when we get into the final discussions of how we're pulling this up together.
I think they're going to be an integral part of the development of that approach. Representative Davies.
If you take the governor's path.
I think under any scenario, Representative Griesendorf.
When we have these presentations on Thursday, are we going to attempt prior to that to agree on some common numbers?
Assumption.
I mean, like...
The development of the assumptions.
And can we, in other words, it really would be helpful to see the plans much as possible with the same set of assumptions.
Mm-hmm. We're going to make every attempt, Representative Davies, to do that. And that's what we've been, obviously...
Otherwise, it becomes apples and oranges. It's very hard to evaluate.
Exactly. So we're going to try and work on that in the meanwhile, working between Ledge Finance and Department of Revenue and the other affected agencies. Representative Davies?
And if I could add something to it, I would really like to see slightly longer time horizons than what I've seen so far.
Right.
Something like 20 years.
Yeah, going out to 2020. I think that's valuable. That's been the premise that we've been working on, that you want to be able to present it, understanding that those last 10 years get speculative, but at the same time, it's also the time frame. If you see a model begin crashing during that time frame, you know that you really have not got a sustainable plan. And I thought the analogy used the other day was a pretty good one by Phil in terms of looking at our cash resources sort of like our fish. You know, maximum sustained yield over a period of time is really the proof in the pudding.
Fishing game budget.
That abundance.
Is that abundance? In this case, we certainly hope it's abundance. Are there any further questions for Bob or Chris? If not, I appreciate the bodies, the finance committee staying here tonight. Representative, Mr. Co-Chair.
I just wanted to let people know on Wednesday, I did not understand that we were going to have the majority caucus on Wednesday evening was going to take up as much time as it apparently is. I had scheduled the capital budget overviews Wednesday afternoon and Wednesday evening. It appears like we'll be able to go Wednesday afternoon, but have to push some of the discussion until Thursday morning. And that may cause Senate Bill 33, which is Task Force on Privatization, to be bumped until Thursday afternoon. But it is my intent, we will send out tomorrow a spreadsheet of the different things in the capital budget. If individual members want to then get the detailed information sheet on specific projects, that information is available, but we're not going to copy all of the, you know, make the big background information binders for everybody on every project. In the overviews, I'm going to ask the departments to be prepared to answer questions, but I would like to avoid getting into a lengthy discussion with DOT, you know, with the commissioner or whoever, saying, well, you had a road project last year and you the curbs didn't go far enough, or, you know, if you want to have that discussion, I would encourage you to, you know, follow them out after the presentation and ask individual questions, or perhaps catch them while they're waiting to come up to the table. But we do want to move through the overview fairly quickly within the two meetings that we've got scheduled. And then we've noticed the bills previously heard all of the days this week. It is my intent to try and get through everything that we have calendared this week, even if some things slide till Saturday, just so we don't get really backlogged. So please, when you get the spreadsheet on the capital budget, look through it. If there are certain items that are of real interest to you and you want more information, you can get in touch with my staff to get your staff pointed in the right direction to track it down, so that you can ask the questions that you want. But we don't want to spend a whole lot of time on every single project and get delayed in the regional discussions. That should take place on your own time.
Also, tomorrow evening we'll be hearing from the Permanent Fund, talking about interest income and also the assumptions that they work from, and recommendations that they might have in relation to how to view the fund in the future. So,
can you present that?
I don't know if it's... Jim will undoubtedly be a part of it. I don't think the Senate had had Callan and Associates up here at that point in time. And unfortunately, due to cost, I don't think we're going to be able to have that luxury, but I'm sure Jim and somebody else from the Permanent Fund will be here. Probably Peter. Any further questions or action coming for finance? If not, we are adjourned for the evening.